The opinions expressed in this Spirited Sports podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Life or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Welcome to the Spirited Sports Podcast. I'm Nick Chico.
And I'm Todd Ashdour. From the ovations of the crowd to the tense moments of anticipation, sports have a special way of bringing people from all walks of life to a united front.
On this podcast, we'll explore the stories into the highs and lows, the triumphs and heartbreaks that makes being a sports fan an emotional roller coaster ride.
The podcast where we dive deep into the heart of sports fandom, discussing the latest sports news and opinions on the sports we love.
Get ready for a rockin' ride, because whether we're podcasters, broadcasters, or listeners, we're all fans first.
This is the Spirited Sports Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Spirited Sports Podcast. Welcome back to episode 22. If you're new here, welcome to some spirited content here on the Spirited Sports Podcast. I'm here. I'm Nick, alongside Nevin, Todd, and Tolly. Guys, how are we doing today?
Good, really good. Clever play on words there too, Nick, with the spirited content stuff. But it should be fun. We got a great group here, and like always, we got some great things to talk about.
Yeah, I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful to be here with you guys, man. It's an awesome day, Friday. Great day. Have a great day. So I'm excited for this one.
Nevin, how about you? How are you feeling?
Doing great. I'm just excited to get going. It's the third time now, but I'm excited.
Great. Happy to have you here as always, buddy. All right. Now we're going to pass it over to Todd Ashdour. It's second and goal. Hut, hut. Over to you, Todd. Let's hear it.
Red 58. No.
here we go.
taking to the NFL. I'm not sure if you guys saw, we talked about it already, but yesterday's Thursday night football game, as of this recording, was an absolute blockbuster matchup.
That was crazy.
Crazy.
Craziness. Like, wow.
Ravens beat the Bengals 35-34. Huge win for the Ravens. They have now swept the Bengals in their season series. They played each other a few weeks back. It was also a crazy game in Cincinnati. The Ravens won that one in overtime. Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's looking like he's going to win the MVP for the second straight year and for the third time. Not many players have won 3 MVPs. I think it's been like Peyton Manning, I know he has 5. Aaron Rodgers has 4. Tom Brady has 3 as well. And then Brett Favre also has 3. There might be some other players I'm missing out on, but those are the players that I know for sure have at least 3 MVP awards. It looks like Lamar is going to join them. He has better numbers than he had this time last year. 24 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. Are you kidding me? And, you know, with that being said, it sucks because Joe Burrow's also been so good this year. But, like, the Bengals are in trouble. They're 4-6. And late in that game, you guys saw, right, they tried to go for 2. They scored that touchdown. They're down by 1 point. Instead of trying to tie the game and go to overtime, they went for 2 and didn't get it. And that's how they lost the game. I'm curious. You can just go around. Like, do you guys agree with that decision to go for 2 or no?
You know what? Looking back at the previous matchup and then going to overtime, and the Ravens taking the win in that one, I don't think Cincinnati wanted to go through that again. So going for 2, I would have taken the field goal and gone overtime, but it wasn't my decision. What happened happened, and it was a great game either way. It was a great game.
Yeah, but I feel like that like going for 2 at the end, either to win or to lose, never works. Like, I don't know when the last time that's... I know the Steelers and Ravens, the Ravens scored a touchdown. They wanted to go for 2 to try to win. And Lamar threw it to Andrews, I think. It just missed. And then I think a game with the Lions, they were going to go for 2 as well. I don't know. But I just have never seen that work. I understand, like, you want to go to overtime. You don't want to leave the luck on a coin toss. But at the same time, like, isn't it more risky to go for 2 and lose the game then, like, give your defense multiple chances in overtime? I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of it, but, like, it just never works every time I see it.
Yeah, I was going to say, just to end that, I guess, I agree with the Bengals going for it just because the Ravens were really, like, Lamar, especially in that fourth quarter, was starting to really start to click. Because the Bengals defense did a good job in the first half, but then Lamar and that Ravens offense, they started to really do what they always do and really move the ball down the field. And I feel like if it went to overtime, obviously the Bengals could have got the ball or the Ravens could have got the ball. But obviously, like Nick, how you said, what happened last time they played in overtime where Bengals got the ball, the holder for the field goal didn't hold the ball properly and they missed the field goal, and Derrick Henry, you know, rumbled down the field. Ravens kicked the field goal to win the game. So I agree with the Bengals going for two just because it's like we can win a game right here and then. The game that Ja'Marr Chase had too, right? He was the only player now, after what he did last night, he was amazing. He's the only player in NFL history now with multiple games of 250-plus receiving yards and two receiving touchdowns. He had 11 catches for 264 receiving yards and three touchdowns last night. I think that's the second time that he's had a 200-yard game against the Ravens.
He was first of all, he was absolutely torching that defense. Oh, yeah. That defense couldn't see him.
He's doing that gritty, the gritty.
Oh, my God.
The gritty.
Celebration. What was it? Was it DeSean Jackson? Remember the Eagles? And then he just, like, started running backwards until, like, someone got close to him. That was exactly what Chase did. I wonder if you can get a flag eventually if you just stand there long enough. But, I don't know. First of all, that was defensive holding. We can all agree. That last play, that was crazy.
That should have been holding.
I think there were two little different things going on that play. I had seen both were missed calls.
Oh yeah. There was the Joe Burrow hit face him in the mask. Yeah, face mask.
Speared him Roman Reigns style.
Yeah, just I don't know. I feel like another topic, the refs during those last second plays. Do you think they just kind of like lean back and like even if they see something they're like almost afraid to call it because nowadays like there's so much focus on them and they're like, oh, if I make this call I don't want to be wrong, but then they end up not calling the right call anyways? Like,
yeah, you know, I think with referees they're very very much scrutinized in what they do across every sport and every league in the world. But I think, you know, when it comes down to the final minutes, unless it's like a blatant call that you can't not call, I think you put the whistles away. You put the flags away. You let them play.
Let them play.
You look at that in the playoffs too, right? Especially in the NHL, when you see the difference between penalties called in the regular season versus the playoffs. Playoffs, they put the whistles away and they let them play, you know, finishing your check and whatnot. But in this example, you know, whether you call it or not, someone's going to be upset about it.
Yeah.
So, can't make everyone happy. And like you were saying, right, put your hands up in the air like you just don't care, eh, Nick?
When did I say that?
Well, with the whistles away and the flags away and let the players play. So, who knows? Before you know it, Nick's going to be choreographing a routine for the rest of us here. But Todd.
That was... I don't know. Yeah, I agree with Nick there. They probably just let them play in those situations. Unless it's number 15 in red and white with the Chiefs, then they'd probably blow the whistle.
100%.
But I guess moving on, speaking of number 15 in red and white, the Chiefs are 8-0. They're on a 14-game winning streak dating back to last season. The last time they lost a game was their Week 16 game last year to the Las Vegas Raiders on Christmas Day, where they lost at home to the Raiders somehow, which is a really weird game. But now the Chiefs are just really red hot right now. Do you guys think they're going to go 17-0? Because look at that schedule. Outside of that game at Buffalo in a couple weeks, like it's not looking super difficult.
No, I don't. At home against the Buccaneers, who are 4-5, they needed OT. Which I know I said going into that game it was going to be close. You did. I did. Yeah. I called it. Bit of a fortune teller move there, but I know Todd was kind of giving me a little bit of a hard time with that. He's like, "Oh no, they're gonna win for sure." But you give me a bit of a hard time with their. You said, "Look at the schedule." I'm looking at it, Todd. They play the Broncos at home. Sure, you can see maybe they'll get that one, and then they go away to the Bills. I could see that as a loss.
Yeah,
and then if you fast forward to, the December 21st, they host the Texans. Who's to say that could not, you know, go either way? And then we have Nevin here rocking the Steelers hoodie. They play the Steelers on Christmas Day.
Well, that's gonna be a tough one too.
That could be a loss too. So, I mean, Todd, like you're big on the Chiefs, and I think rightfully so. You know, give credit where it's due, right? But also with respect to those other teams, I think one of them could break that streak for the Chiefs. Nevin, what do you think?
You know, I'm a big Mahomes guy. I don't know. I just, when Kansas City versus a team, I just automatically think they're going to win. I mean, not just because of the refs, even though, let's be honest, it's a big part of it at times. Mahomes is my boy, but it's not even him this year. It's like the defense.
Yeah.
The receiving core is good. Like, he's not even the main factor to me. Obviously, he's the most important position on the team, but like, I don't know. I just feel like the defense is so good. Like, in past years, the defense wasn't as good. Kind of Mahomes had to carry, and that's why his stats are so good. But this year, he's throwing interceptions. I think he kind of knows that he doesn't need to play as good because he knows he can just rely on his defense and the refs. I don't know. I just feel like any team, like even as a Steelers fan, I think that's just an L on our schedule. I just they might go undefeated to me. And I know that's kind of a hot take.
It's a big ask.
But I don't know. Like, I still think they're gonna win the Super Bowl, and he's my guy. I want him to eventually reach that point where he's better than Tom Brady. I'm sick of that guy as a Steelers fan. Yeah.
Figuratively speaking,
Of course. Not in real life. Not in real life. I'd shake the guy's hand, obviously. You know, yeah. Be like, I'm a big fan.
Or if you were a little under the weather, maybe just away from a phone.
Yeah, exactly. I'd want his attention if I ever saw it.
Yeah, but just it seems like you're close with the guy. Like you said, he's Patty Mahomes is like your boy, and then you said he's your guy. Like, what do you have him on speed dial or something?
Oh, I wish.
Like, is he coming over for breakfast? Brunch? Like, what's going on over there?
He'd probably hate the way I cook, though. What is going on? Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Anyways, I think Chiefs... Yeah,
hopefully, Nevin's got the warranty on the appliances, but... Nev, sorry about that. Continue.
All right. I think they're going to go undefeated, and yeah, that's that. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
No, it's all in good fun. Yeah. Nevin definitely knows his stuff for football.
I know we're talking about the Chiefs has, like, you know, obviously they're two-time defending champions and whatnot, and it looks like they're going to win the Super Bowl. But if you ask me, if there's one team that can knock them off this year, I think it's the Detroit Lions. The Lions are 7-1 for the first time since 1956.
That Quick math, Todd. How many years ago is that?
That is 68 years, I believe.
Can we confirm that?
That is correct. That's yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Okay, that's Nevin's quick math there, so we'll treat it as a Wikipedia source. But Todd, continue.
Yeah. So the Lions, right now, I think they're the class of the NFC. I mean, last week they went into Lambeau Field and beat the Packers 24-14. Unfortunately, and yeah, they did really, really well. Jared Goff right now is on an absolute tear. He's thrown for 11 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions in his last 5 games. And the Lions as a team, they have more touchdowns, 28, than Jared Goff has incompletions, 24, over the last 6 weeks. So that shows how dialed in they are. And even defensively, without Aiden Hutchinson, they've been very, very solid. They just traded for Za'Darius Smith, which I really love for them. A great trade for them to upgrade their pass rush. Do you guys think that the Lions are the best team in the NFL right now? Do you see them beating the Chiefs if they played in the Super Bowl?
No.
No.
I say yes.
The Lions can even make it to the Super Bowl. Because I think they have, a big contention in the NFC, Vikings.
Yeah.
If Sam Darnold can get this team to the playoffs and play the way he's done for the past 6 weeks or so, in the first 6 weeks... I don't know, guys. I think we might have a big, big matchup on our hands, say the NFC Championship between the Vikings and the Lions.
Oh, that would be such a fun game.
I would not want to watch that game as a Packers fan.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, that would be my nightmare.
I didn't know it could happen, had though. Sam Darnold in his upper echelon of quarterbacks, but...
he's playing well this year.
He is, yeah. He is playing well.
When's the rookie coming back?
Next year?
Oh, so he's done.
Yeah. Really?
Oh.
Well, okay. It's not like he definitely has the potential in him. We saw what he did a couple years ago with the Panthers, that hot start, right?
Yeah, same.
Now, let's jump over to the NHL. Let's do some hockey talk here. The Winnipeg Jets, 13-1 through 14 regular season games. They're first in the Central, and they're at the top of the league. Who would have thought that coming into this season?
Not me.
No.
No, yeah.
You want to know a fun fact about the Jets? Their last 2 losses dating back to last season were against Canadian teams.
Wow.
They lost to the Ottawa Senators in March of last year to end off the season. The Jets were on a 6-game losing streak. They were 0-5-1 during the skid when the Sens beat the Jets in Winnipeg in a 3-2 game in March, the end of March. They haven't lost, with the exception of Toronto, when Toronto beat them a few weeks ago.
6-4, right?
6-4, yes.
That was a good one.
That was a good game. Yeah. But yeah, two Canadian teams were the only teams to beat the Jets, and they are now 13-1. Again, I just wanted to bring up the Sens thing here.
No, of course, of course. It ties in nicely, yeah.
The Sens are 6-7 to start the season, currently 7th in the Atlantic. Again, a tough division to play in if you're any team near the bottom. But the Jets are not at the bottom. They're at the absolute top. They're at the tippy top of the league. So they've had a really hot start. When do you think their next loss will be?
Good question. Good question. Nevin, why don't you start us off with that one?
I mean, they've versed some pretty good competition already. I'm looking at their trying to look at their schedule right now.
They're playing the Stars next. So that could be a good matchup.
I think the Stars could beat them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think they got the Stars. Okay. Oh, they got some tough competition. They got the Stars, Rangers, Lightning, Panthers, and then Panthers again.
Ooh. And then who do they also got the next three games after that?
This one's pretty easy after that. It's Penguins, Predators, pretty easy. Penguins are they're okay. But then the Wild.
Oof.
And then to end off in December, LA, and then Golden Knights.
I don't think I expected the Preds to be in this position. Like, it's not just Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea. Like, it's also Saros is a great goalie. They still have Yossi. They still have Forsberg. They have a former blue liner for the Leafs, Luke Shen, who I know Nick was big on.
Yeah.
I mean,
Riley and Shen, massive duo right there.
Yeah. I mean, Shenner, right? But, yeah, I don't know. I think this is unbelievable that Trotz is coming out and saying they should try to trade back for Askarov now, because this is ridiculous. Like, if you think about it, just let this brew for a second. Through 14 games this year, the Nashville Predators have less points than the Montreal Canadiens.
They have less points than the San Jose Sharks.
Think about that. I'm looking at Nevin now, and I can just see, you know, the hamster wheel starting to go in his mind a little bit, because this is this is craziness if you think about it. I honestly, and this is a really tough division. I mean, outside of maybe the Blackhawks, I thought the Predators would be where the Stars are right now.
I think I would have thought they would have been at least in a good wild card position by now.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for the NHL, unless we already got into this, which I don't think we did, I think this is worth mentioning. What do you make of the news coming out of Philly with their prospect there?
Yes, Michkov was a healthy scratch last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Michkov tied for first in rookie points. He has 10 points so far. Head coach John Tortorella was very adamant about this scratching being a part of the development process. And he didn't have much say beyond that. What do we think about healthy scratching a rookie that's been really good to start?
I mean, it's Torts, right? So you look at the Habs when Caulfield was in his first year or two in the league. I think against the Leafs, if I'm not mistaken, he was up in the press box for the first few games in that series. So it happens. I mean, let's face it. Torts he's cutthroat. As a coach, like, he will lambaste you if you're not playing the way you should be.
Yeah.
Todd?
Yeah, even, like, he's kind of been known for kind of benching, like, young prominent players in the past just to kind of, like, send that message and everything like that.
I don't think it's necessarily sending a message. Like, the Flyers, yeah, it might be sending a message, but I think it's just having a young player sit in the press box and watch what's going on. I think it's a good experience as well. Again, granted, I think it is a message sent. The Flyers are currently last in the Metro. They got 11 points through 14 games. They're 5-8-1. They're behind the Penguins. They're behind the Blue Jackets. They're behind the Islanders and the Rangers. The Hurricanes are, just to jump there, the Hurricanes are 10-2 in the Metro. 20 points in 12 games to start the season. They're on an 8-game win streak, which they beat Penguins.
5-1.
Yes, they beat the Penguins.
I don't know. I almost think the Flyers should consider a trade, because with the Cutter Gauthier thing, what happened with that trade? They got Jamie Drysdale.
That was a good trade.
That was a good trade for both parties. Philly was able to get that much needed blue liner, and the Ducks were able to. The Ducks, I know, had a lot of depth on that side of the blue line, so they were willing to partake in that trade. But why not go for a similar trade? Like, you could think of a blue liner, Nick, who would you put in that trade?
I wouldn't be making the trade.
If you had to, though.
Michkov is going to be a Flyer beyond his ELC.
Okay, well, what if you had a team like the Habs come to you, which the Habs would want no interest in this, and offer Gouley?
No, it'd have to be like Leighton Hutson or Logan Mouliou.
Wow. Because Gouley's, he's like, with that trade that happened over the summer with Harris and Laine, I'm sure the Habs shut down any Gouley talk right away. Because he's like, I think
he's untouchable. Gouley's untouchable.
I think he's untouchable too. And just now that we're on the topic for the Habs, I mean, Nevin, when do you think they make the playoffs again? If it's not this year, when do you think they make the playoffs again? Honestly.
As an unbiased Leaf fan, I'd say they make the playoffs in like 3 to 4 years.
Nick?
Let's see. Yeah, actually, I'd have to give four or five. I don't know. I don't see them doing anything this year. If they can, I don't know. If they can draft well and really bolster the bottom six, they might have a shot. But I don't see it this year. I don't see it next year.
The year after that seems like it'd also be a stretch.
The Atlantic is so good.
That's the thing.
It makes it like
it's so good. The Atlantic's so good. The Metro's really good.
Yeah.
Now you got the Rangers in contention. You got the Devils in contention as well. The Hurricanes have been really good the last few years.
The Rangers,
and then like the Sens are starting to build their way up slowly.
Yeah, but they've been close to the Habs in the standings too. Like I think it's if the Habs were in rebuild, they're supposed to be in reset now. They spent, 2-3 years in the rebuild. Now it's supposed to be another, three, including this one, in the reset. I don't think it makes sense why the Senators are, and I know it's so early in the season, and I do think they will finish above the Habs in the standings, but you have Claude Giroux there as a... He's been really good with the Senators. You got David Perron. Got Allmark and Net.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense to me.
And even Forsberg. Forsberg's been good to start the season too.
Like, yeah. This doesn't... Like, Todd, did you think at this point in time the Senators would be in the same talk with the Habs?
To be honest, no. Just with the moves that they made and everything like that, it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't know if they're like... What kind of direction are they trying to go? Like, are they trying to compete for a playoff spot, or are they still rebuilding? It's kind of hard to tell sometimes with Senators. Like, with the Habs, I feel like it's like, yeah, they're still a very, very young team. Like, most of their players are young. Like, it makes sense. You know what direction they're kind of going into. But the Senators, yeah, I don't know. It's a little confusing to me sometimes.
All right. I think that was a good episode, guys. That was really, really good. We had a lot to talk about. Great work. Thank you. Thanks for another good episode. For Nick, Todd, Tully, and Nevin, thank you so much for listening to episode 22 of the Spirited Sports Podcast, and we will see you next time.
See you.
See ya.